tonight we want to look in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read just a few verses. I know that Sunday night we're kind of gearing up for what we have to do through the week. Those that I've been told that when you retire you stay even busier than you do when you're working a job. And so each one of us have got things that we need to get accomplished this week, but I'm glad that you chose to be here tonight. And so we want to just spend a little time. And the title of this message tonight is Great Hymn of Praise. Great Hymn of Praise. We sing a lot of hymns here, and we're grateful for that. We're thankful for the messages in the songs. And the fact that they're just not words, but yet they have meaning. And I think of how many of the great hymn and great hymn writers that wrote many of the hymns that we sing today, they came out of battles, they came out of struggles, they came out of life changes. And God spoke to them, and words came upon their heart, music were put to the words, and we enjoy singing them today. But when I think about the great hymns of praise, we're simply identifying with praising our Savior, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, I think that's what Peter was doing here in 1 Peter chapter 1. And so let's begin reading with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for the good day that you've blessed us with and another opportunity that we have to worship you, meditate on you, think about you, another opportunity to praise you. And Father, we thank you for the music all day today, and how, Lord, it's blessed our heart and those that sing. But Lord, we pray that as we spend some time with you this evening, Lord, that you'll just help us and help us even realize even more how we simply need to praise you every day. Lord, you're merciful to us, you're good to us, and we're grateful. We do pray for those that are here. We pray for those that are viewing this evening and that will be viewing. And now, Lord, we're just looking to you tonight. Help me, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the New Testament, there are a number of what we would consider hymns of praises and honor. We read to you one just a few moments ago here in this passage, and we read to you verse 3 again. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we understand that to be a hymn of praise. We think of another hymn of praise found in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 that said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then I think of one more that I want to share with you, and that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. And the Bible says, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Hymns of expressing praise and honor. In the passage that we read to you just a few moments ago for our text, it's almost like Peter is saying, if I can put it in these terms that we can understand today and more in maybe the language that we use today, it seems like he's praising God for all that he has done. For all that he has done in his life and for all that he has done for him, for Peter. And for all the great blessings that he has bestowed upon him. And we could echo those same words tonight. When we stop and think about it and when we stop and realize there's a lot of things that we could be doing tonight. There's a lot of avenues that we could have took in life. But I'm grateful tonight that we realize that if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be in pretty bad shape. And so we praise him tonight for the opportunity of salvation. And so we think about these verses, verses 3 through 9, and we say, what blessings? What blessings has he bestowed upon us? What blessings is Peter emphasizing tonight? Well, we won't go over all of them tonight, but I just want to at least share them with you. One is mercy, and we're grateful for the mercy that he has shown. One is begotten, and we will share a little bit more about that in just a few moments. One is an inheritance. He has given us an inheritance. One is kept, verse 5. We even think of trials, verse 7. We think of joy, verse 8, and we think of salvation, verse 9. Now, I just want to make mention of a couple of these, and we think of trials. It says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know anyone that likes to go through trials. I don't think we would get up in the morning and say, I feel like I want to go through a trial today. We don't think that way, but yet when we go through them and we understand that we're going to have trials, but when we get through them and understand that we are able to go through these trials by faith, when we rest upon the Lord, and I can tell you firsthand that the Lord has helped me through many trials, and we're going to continue to go through trials. But when we go through them, and yes, the trials, it says, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When we go through these trials and we make it through these trials, then we look back and we simply praise the Lord for helping us through them. And that's the praise that we give. It's nothing that we can do or nothing that we can accomplish, but we praise the Lord that he allowed us to go through them and get through them, and he helped us through them. And that's the hope that we have. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to make mention just a couple of things tonight here in Peter, and I just want to make just a few comments, and then we'll close here. But I want to just first say, blessed be God for his abundant mercy. His abundant mercy he has shown towards us. Now let's think about this just for a moment. I believe that we could echo that God is merciful. He's merciful. He's merciful. When I was going through school, I always liked a teacher that said, I looked on it as a positive. She looked on it as a negative. But I always liked a teacher that would grade with a curve. I always liked that. Now, for her to do that, or the teachers that I'm referring to, they were ladies, but for her to do that, then we must have done pretty bad for her to say that I need to grade with a curve. But yet, grading with a curve, she was showing mercy. She was showing mercy. Knowing that, we didn't understand what we were taking. Maybe we didn't study like we should have. Maybe we didn't comprehend. You know, it could be a number of different things. But the realization that she thought to herself, if I don't grade on a curve, these people are in trouble. Well, God doesn't grade on a curve, but I am grateful for His mercy. I'm grateful for His mercy. Do you ever think about God's mercy? Do you ever stop and think about your life? And, you know, and I'm not saying compare yourself to another believer or even another non-Christian, but I'm talking about comparing yourself to a holy God. And when we compare ourselves to a holy God, we don't have very much to show. But yet, by His mercy, in God's mercy, I'll give you something else to think about. We didn't love Him first, but He loved us first. That's mercy. That He would love us just as we are. That He thought that we were pretty valuable to Him, for Him to come down from heaven, Jesus Christ, to come down from heaven. And we spent a little time this morning on Calvary. But we must be pretty valuable to Him for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. That's mercy. That's mercy. I want to share with you just a couple of verses in Romans. How did He show us mercy? Well, these are familiar verses to many of us. But Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He first loved us, and yet we were sinners. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. The Bible says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved in His life." So not only were we sinners, we were enemies. We were enemies, and that's what verse 10 is telling us. And then in verse 18, the Bible says of that same chapter, chapter 5 of Romans, chapter 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life." And let's just put it this way. We were sinners, we were enemies, and we were condemned. And He showed us mercy. His abundant mercy. God had mercy upon us. And we experience that every single day. Psalm 103 verses 8 and following, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I'm thankful tonight for his abundant mercy. For his abundant mercy. I like what verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. I'm thankful for his slow to anger. We look at the shape of this world and we think about the shape of this world and we think to ourselves, the Lord's going to come back any moment because of the condition of things, because of the sin, and because of all the things that's taking place. And we don't have to go through and talk about those things directly because you live in the same world I do and you see the same things that I see. But you know, every day that goes by, with all the corruption and with all the things that's taking place, every day that goes by, I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His mercy. You see, He's doing what no one else can do. Just like Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, He did what no one else could do. And God's shown His mercy. And if we were honest with ourselves, we would if we were in the same state, and we can't be, but I'm just using this for just a thought here, we would have probably already done something to the way the world is. But it's God's mercy and the fact that He's slow to anger and He don't want anyone to be lost without Christ. I believe that He's giving every opportunity for those to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that's why I think that we need to pray, and we need to pray harder. Sometimes we get busy and look, our schedules are so busy and we have so many things to do. But you know, let me challenge you. We need to start praying for the lost. God is slow to anger and God is very merciful, but we need to pray that people will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. When we read the missionary letters on Wednesday night and we hear of people getting saved, you know, I don't know about you, but I rejoiced in my heart about that testimony that we heard of this young girl and how that her life, you know, went from here to here to here to here. And then in the end, she came to know Jesus Christ. And look, she didn't choose those paths. She didn't choose the kind of life that she was in. But yet God used every moment and every trial, and God used every situation to put her where she is right now, that she was able to hear the gospel and come to know Jesus Christ. And that's what we rejoice over. And we think about these trials that people go through and we think of the prodigal son. The prodigal son had to come to himself and realize that he was far better off as a servant of his father. He was far better off than in the world that he was living in. But yet his father was watching and his father was looking. And when the father saw him afar off, you know, the father could have said, no, I don't want to part of you. The father could have rejected him, but no. He put on that robe and he killed the fatted calf. And he said, rejoice. Rejoice. You see, that's how merciful our Lord is. And that's why we should never stop praying. And praying and praying earnestly. And sometimes we think of it being a hopeless state, but it's not hopeless. Because God's all powerful. And God can put things in a person's life and direct people in the where they need to be that they can come to know Jesus Christ. And we saw that this morning. I don't know if I was blessed this morning about those girls coming and singing and hearing the testimony. I was blessed by that. But every one of them, just like us, every one of them has a story and how that God brought them to certain places in their life. But the whole time, God was working. God was working. And so we need to remember that. And that's part of His mercy. That's the mercy that we're talking about. That's part of the mercy. He didn't abandon, but yet He took every opportunity that people would come to know Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The second thing I want to make mention is this. Blessed be the God that He have made us His children. His children. Begotten us again. Let's just put it this way. Thank God that we're born again. Thank God that we're born again. And we have been born again. You see, God is the author of the natural life. The natural life that we are born into this world, but God is also the author of the spiritual life. And Jesus Christ made that possible. Made that possible. This is something to meditate on. This is something to think about. This is something to rejoice over. And all through school, I don't know that they do it now, but all through school a teacher would say, it started when you were small, and it would go on up through high school, and they would say something like the same question, but just put a different way as a student became older. But when you're young, a teacher might say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And then a lot of times they would say, a fireman or a policeman or something like that. But as a child grows, then that same question is put maybe a little different way. But they're talking about a career. They're talking about a career. I want to do this or I want to do that. And you talk about a career. But you know, careers begin and careers come to an end. Many of you have experienced that. Never once did they ask us in school, "Do you want to be a child of God?" They would talk about the careers, but you know, I believe that we need to talk about more about coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because life, careers and jobs and all those things come and go. But when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's something that stays with you. That's something that stays with you. Jesus made it possible, and of course we're blessed to have been, to be called the child of God, and Jesus made it possible, and He did a work that no one else could do, and we could never earn it. We can never earn what He has done for us, we could never earn it, and if we could, we could never be good enough, but we can't. Because what God has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ is simply by His grace. And we're thankful for His grace. If we had been given freely, if maybe I should put it this way. He is given to us freely by His grace an opportunity to be saved. I didn't, just like many of you, I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel. I heard the gospel as a young boy. My dad was a preaching, and my Sunday school teachers would tell you about Jesus Christ, and I didn't quite understand it. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart that I said yes to Jesus. That's when it became real. That's when the message became real, the gospel message, and I'm thankful for the gospel message. And then number three, blessed be the God who hath given us such a glorious hope. A glorious hope. It talks about in verse 3, it says, have begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The unbeliever, those without Christ, if they stay in that same condition, they have no hope for the future. If they stay in that same condition, that lost condition, then their hope is very limited. The only hope that they have, if they stay lost, the only hope that they have is what the world has to offer. And that's pretty sad. Because the world offers tears. The world offers hurts. The world offers wars. The world offers fears. And what the world offers is temporal, because we're in an ever-changing world. What the world has to offer is just a very short life. A very short lifetime. You know, and I know people that's been in part of our lives, whether it be by friendships or acquaintances or just people that we know, and we've seen people, their lives come to a very short ending, and we've seen people's lives come to a very long life. But whether it be short or whether it be long, if this is the only life that they have, it's really not much, is it? But He has given us that glorious hope. Do you realize tonight, and just a reminder, because I know you know this, but just a reminder tonight, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was the demonstration of His complete victory. Of His complete victory. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over hell, and victory over Satan. You see, that's what we have in the resurrection. No other religion teaches the resurrection. Most religions will teach about do's and what you should do and all those type of things. But I'm thankful tonight that we teach about the resurrection, because Jesus is alive and well. And that tomb was empty. And for that we're grateful, because that's where our hope comes. If Jesus had not died and rose again, we would have no hope and we would be hopeless. We would be hopeless. We would have no reason to be here tonight. We would have no reason to sing songs tonight. We would be hopeless. There would be no salvation. There would be no forgiveness. And there would be no chance of heaven if that's what our hope was in, and had Jesus not rose from the dead. But I'm glad tonight that Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And I think of Stephen. You know, Stephen was preaching and giving a word of testimony in the book of Acts, and they didn't like his message. And they began to be angry. And they began to stone him, and he looked up, and it's like the heavens were open, and he saw Jesus standing. And his heart changed. And he asked the Lord to forgive them. And he fell asleep. And he went in the presence of Jesus. You see, no matter how it is, no matter what process it takes, a believer, when they close their eyes for the last time and they take that final breath, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will soon be in the presence of Him. And I can't imagine what that'll be like. I try to think about it from time to time, and you know, I think about this life, and I think about mistakes, and I think about life itself. But I'm glad tonight that when He says that He's faithful and just to forgive us, and that He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I'm grateful that when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. It's not about what I've done. It's not about what I've accomplished. Yes, I'd love to lay some crowns at His feet. But I rejoice of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do have hope tonight. We can rejoice tonight. And we know that our sins are forgiven. So I ask the question, What is your hymn of praise tonight? What is your hymn of praise? What can you say about the Lord Jesus Christ? And no matter what we face this week, when we go home in just a very few minutes and we start our day, we lay our heads down and then we get up in the morning, and we are going to be faced with different things. May you face them knowing that you're one of His children, and that we're very blessed, and that we have a hymn of praise in our hearts, and we're like Peter that says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And the fact that we are kept, verse 5 says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice through now for a season, if need be. And we know we're going to have temptations. We know we're going to have trials. But just remember that the trials of our faith are more precious than gold that perisheth. And yes, it's going to be tried with fire. But as those trials come, and as we get through those trials, may we have praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're blessed tonight. We're truly blessed tonight. And our great hymn of praise, I trust tonight, is just simply saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We're so grateful for your mercy, your loving kindness, your forgiveness. Father, help us to begin our week as you allow us to, but help us begin our week not thinking about the pressures of life, not thinking about the difficulties, but yet help us to begin thinking about just simply being thankful that we're one of your children. And that you'll help us through any trial we have. We just need to look to you. We're thankful tonight for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for tonight for the resurrection. We're thankful for tonight for the hope that we have in Jesus. Lord, if there's a need tonight or someone wants to come and pray, Lord, I pray that they'll do so as we have this invitation. And Lord, we give you the praise, and we do give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.